it's great to be with you all here this morning. It's been a couple of years since I've been with you all. My name's Josh Samuel. 2009 is the last time I was with you, actually. I don't know if you remember. Maybe I'm forgettable. I'm not sure. But I spoke at your retreat, and I remember I had a really good time with you all. I believe it was at Trent. And just see a lot of good familiar faces. And then I also spoke at your Christmas event in 2009 as well, and I had a really great time. I know things have changed. It's great to see Pastor Stan. Thank you so much just for having me. Sometimes I talk about, I have a lot of, you know, pastoral friends, and we sometimes talk about pastors and just how they're doing. And someone just mentioned Stan Mann, and I was like, you can't forget Stan Mann. I mean, you can't forget. This is just a great name, you know? So you just can't forget him. And so it's really good to see you, Pastor Stan, and the rest of the church. Thank you so much for the invitation. Things have changed, I'm sure, with you. Things have changed with me as well. I don't know if you heard a little bit of a baby just having some laughs and jokes with his mom and me. That's my beautiful wife, just got married 3 years ago. Her name's Joyce, and if you see her, she's back out there. She doesn't want to distract you all with our son, who likes to have fun during service. His name is Josiah, so you can say hi to them as well at some point. So it's really good to be with you all. Pastor Stan mentioned to me that you all are going through a whole theme of discipleship. And discipleship is one of the things that I love. That permeates a lot of the type of ministry that I really appreciate. Discipleship, so crucial. Let me just pray, and let's just invite the Holy Spirit to apply the word to your heart and to mine. I want to be changed by it. How about you? Lord, I thank you, Lord God, just for giving us this opportunity to come together once again, just to hear your word, to worship you with your people in song and through scripture and through communion. Lord, we are blessed. We are blessed to live in Canada and to come to a place where we can just worship you in freedom. We give you thanks for this moment. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It's a crazy passage, isn't it? You know, you read the passage. Thank you so much, Gary. You did a wonderful job of reading scripture. But this story of Jeremiah, it's a fascinating story. It's just so real and it's so honest. It doesn't show just some idealistic ways of how the Bible and the Word of God can be understood. Jeremiah is unbelievably honest, and I like that. Let's set up the story. First, we got lies, distortions, and a lack of God's word. At that time, we had a lot of issues. I don't know if you remember that there was a priest by the name of Pashur, and it was around the 7th century BC, and what happened is that Jeremiah was getting into conflict with other religious people of that time. You see, his message didn't line up with what everybody else thought. You see, everybody else was saying, hey, in Judah, it's going to be good. We got prosperity. We got peace. Everything's going to be all right. And then all of a sudden, you got Jeremiah saying, no, you're in sin. You're in idolatry. You're offering your children as sacrifices. We're going to be destroyed. Babylon is going to come and destroy us. And unless we surrender to them, we will be destroyed. People didn't like it. This is what Jeremiah's message in Jeremiah 19 is. This is what he said. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. They will bury the dead in Topheth until there is no more room. This is what I will do to this place and to those who live here, declares the Lord. I will make this city Topheth. The houses in Jerusalem and those of the kings of Judah will be defiled like this place. Topheth, all the houses where the burned incense on the roofs to all the starry hosts and poured out drink offerings to other gods. This is he basically took some jars and smashed them and said, this is what's going to happen to us. Judah's going to be destroyed. This was not a feel-good message. And this caused a lot of problems. Today's message is all fired up by the word for good reason. You see, while Jeremiah was trying to be faithful, this is the word that he received from God. It was a tough message. But this priest by the name of Pashur was not interested, so he basically had him beat up and locked up. You would think that someone who's religious, who's a priest, would be like on the side of Jeremiah. But sometimes people who are quote-unquote religious may not be in line with the way that Lord is speaking. Lies, distortion, and lack of God's word. Pastor wanted to say everything was going to be all right. But Jeremiah said, that's not the word of the Lord. Today we have similar problems, don't we? We live in a society in Canada where people don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to say about crucial issues of our nation. People say that Canada is kind of a Christian nation. There are certainly some values that are parallel with Scripture, but there are a number of values that are quite opposed. And let's be honest, if we opened our mouths about some things about Scripture, people might beat us. It's true. Things are changing. Even among Christians, there's disagreement about the word and the value of Scripture. You may go to some churches, even in Canada, where they don't even treat the Bible as the word of God. It's just a piece of literature. We can, you know, some mythical stories that we can kind of learn from. How you understand the word is so crucial. I remember 2 years ago, I don't know if you remember this. Does anyone remember the name of Harold Camping? Anybody remember that name? Maybe not. Well, 2 years ago, May 21st, 2011, he said that would be the end of the days. Jesus is coming back, and the world's going to end May 21st. People sold a lot of their money. They gave away their money. They gave up their houses. They gave up their insurance or whatever it is, and they just said, you know what? Jesus is coming back for sure May 21st. They sold everything. They say, you know what? We believe it. They had the T-shirt. They had billboards all across the country in the States. And it was a big thing. It made national news. And Harold Camping said, I've used scientific evidence to show that Jesus is coming back May 21st. And what happened? We are here in 2013. That's what happened. What does this tell us? What does it tell you? It shows to me that people aren't really grasping what Scripture says. Because does everyone remember what Jesus said in Mark 13, 32 to 33? Jesus said, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. You see, we as Christians should have been quite loud and saying, wait a second, we know the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus is coming back May 21st. In fact, the fact that you're willing to pick a date shows to me that you're a false prophet because you're not in line with what the Bible says. But this is what went on, and it was this big news. Obviously, many of you don't remember now because his prediction didn't come true and no one cares about him anymore. How do we handle issues? How do you handle controversies and various opinions about God and how we live our lives? We got to get into the Word. In Jeremiah's days, there were lies and distortions, and people didn't grasp the Word of God correctly. He was a lone voice. What do we do? Jeremiah was different, so different from others that he had a heart overflowing with the Word of God. That's what we need. Number 2, a heart overflowing with the word of God. Jeremiah explained, whenever I speak out, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. It's like fire in his heart. And it's like, if I'm trying to keep it in, I just can't. It just, wow, it comes out. It would be nice to keep it in because his message wasn't in line with society and what the world was saying. But it was like fire. Pow, I can't keep it in. What's in your heart? What are you putting in your heart today? What have you been putting in your heart yesterday, throughout this week? Are we just putting in our heart YouTube videos and Vines or Facebook, what this person's status update is, or what this person's Twitter update is, or this latest Candy Crush sort of thing, or you know, whatever it is. What are we putting in our hearts? Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34 onwards, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. What is in our hearts is what will be expressed by our lifestyles. What's in our hearts is the thing that's going to come out of your mouth. If you have a dirty heart, what's going to come out of your mouth eventually? What are you putting in our hearts? One of my favorite things since having a son, we have this, he's 8 months old right now. And one of the favorite things I like to do in the morning is usually my wife has to wake up a few times at night for him. So I try to wake up early with him. And so I spend about an hour at least with him by myself. And so what I'll do is I have a devotional book and it has a CD with it. So it has you have a song, so you sing a song with your son. And then after that, it has a little devotional story, scripture, and a prayer. So every morning, I try to do this every morning with my son. And so I got this book. We got the song, you know, songs like, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole, all these songs are like pop songs in my head right now because that's all I hear. And so, you know, I will sing a song with him and then I'll read the devotional, read the scripture. And I'm like, okay, Josiah, let's say this prayer together. I mean, he can't speak, so I'll say it for him. But during that entire time of me working on this devotional book, you know, I'll have the book like, you know, this, and he'll just be trying to eat it. So it's like a fight. Like, I'll be trying to read it, and he's like, and he's just trying to eat the book. He's just trying to eat the devotional. He looks at it. He's trying to eat it. I'm trying to read it. And it's just like this little bit of a battle in the morning between me and him. Because he just loves to, he just puts things in his mouth. That's babies. That's the sort of thing you got to do. I'm not saying you got to take your Bible and just start, and then all of a sudden that everything's going to be all right. But that's the sort of heart attitude you need. You need to ingest it inside. You need to take that in. Not just kind of read it and just get away. I mean, you got to ingest it and take it inside your heart. Let me suggest to you 6 ways of getting the word in your heart. Number one, a close relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know, Jeremiah, you know how Jeremiah had the word in his heart? He had a relationship with God. God put that word in his mouth. Jeremiah 1:9, the Bible says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth, Jeremiah saying my mouth, and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. The way Jeremiah had the word in his heart is that he had this close walk with God, that God would just literally put the words on his mouth, touch it, and put it there. You got to have a close walk with God if you want the word of God in you. And who is the word? Who is the ultimate word? That's Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. If you want to know the written word of God, you need to know the incarnate word, the person, Jesus. Number two, prayer and the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus left earth, he explained in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. If you want to understand scripture, you need to be in prayer. Even as you go to the word, go in prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to guide you into truth, to help you understand the truth of scripture. Sometimes scripture can be very difficult to understand. Peter acknowledged that as well. You need to invite the Holy Spirit. The Spirit inspired scripture, right? So who better to go to help you understand it? The Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, a group of Christians were praying together and were filled with the Spirit. And here's what happened in Acts 4:31. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You see, the Spirit just came into their lives, and the word of God just came out gushing. Invite
invite the Spirit. Go to God in prayer as you go to the Word of God. If you want to have the Word of God in us, you gotta, and to apply it, you need the Holy Spirit daily in your life. Ask the Spirit of God to open your eyes. Go into prayer, fasting. I'll be honest with you, sometimes when I'm in prayer and fasting, like, the Bible just opens up to me in ways that I was like, I never saw that before. I may have looked at something 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and all of a sudden I'm going into prayer and some time of fasting, and all of a sudden, like, Scripture would just be like, it's just like coming right at me like 3D. And it's like, wow, I don't know why I never saw that before. 3, read the Bible. I know this sounds obvious. You know, you get a toothpaste, you know, on the toothpaste it says, you know, unscrew, you know, push, put on toothbrush. And it's like, that's obvious, right? But for some of us, let's be honest, sometimes we just need to articulate this, read it. Don't just open it up when Pastor San has a good word for me and you're just about to read it on Sunday morning or when you come to Bible study. You got to open it up daily. Maybe find a nice good 1 year Bible reading plan. I'll be honest with you. I've never done this. Just last year, I just started. I did this 1 year Bible reading plan. I have this Bible, and it literally breaks it up from January 1st to December 31st, and it includes all the Scripture you need to read from the whole year, so you can read the whole Bible in a whole year. It was amazing. You know, when you do something like that, it really takes up more of your time. It's true, but let's be honest. It takes time away from stuff that we know we don't really need to do. Right, we add things to our lives that we don't really need. But, you know, if you get into a good Bible reading plan, it'll be helpful for you. I remember I was a couple of years ago, I did a little bit of IT here and there. And once in a while, in my break times, I was just so busy. I was doing, like, crazy amount of hours per day. And I would just, during, like, 15-minute break times, I would just quickly open up the Bible just so I can get something in me. And I know it may sound like, well, that's kind of weird or... But you know what, it's funny because I needed that refreshment, but it also was a testimony as well. It was a witness to those in my workplace that, hey, you know, Josh is a person who's really into the Bible, and you know, sometimes they start asking questions, and your testimony, your witness is a great example to many others. Open it up in school, open it up at work. Get it on your iPhone, get the YouVersion app, it's great. Use it all the time. 4, meditate on the Bible. We don't really think about this, right? Sometimes we just kind of read it. We just try to get through it. I remember when I was younger, my mom gave me a quarter for every chapter I'd read. So it was a great way. I'd collect quarters. And, you know, sometimes, let's be honest, like when you have that sort of attitude, like you just try to get rid of it. Go, okay. All right, 791. Okay, done. Whew. But meditate on the Bible is like, Psalm 91, verse 1. Oh, wow. And then maybe like 20 minutes later, like, let me think about that verse again. Let me go back to that, and let me see, like, what does that really mean? And just start meditate is just spend time on it. You take time. Meditate on it. 5, study it. Personally, and maybe even with the group. You know, take some time for systematic study of the Bible. Maybe get into a Bible study. And, you know, maybe there's tools out there that I know Pastor Stan could talk to you about. Maybe online or books out there like concordances and commentaries and all these different ways that, you know, can help you understand. There's, you know, Bible study material out there that you can get from all these Christian bookstores. Go get it. Go for it. Get with the group. You know, like a lot of people try to treat the Bible like a crystal ball. And it's like, oh, Lord, what should I do? Okay, verse 10, I hear many whispering, terror, oh, that's not good for me. You know, but you need to understand the word, you need to study it. There's a story about this lady who was having a lot of problems with her husband. And she was just like, man, having a lot of problems, and she decided to do this whole crystal ball gazing. So she's just like, okay, I'm just going to pick a verse out of Scripture. I'm just going to, And she just found something, and it just said, put on the new man. Oh, she's like, oh, yes, Lord. I know this guy. That's it. I'm going to leave this man. I'm going to go for this man that I really, you know, put on the new man. And she went to her pastor and said, Pastor, you know, I was really having a lot of stress about this issue with my my husband. And, you know, there's this really great guy out there. And I went to the Bible, and it said, put on the new man. That's not what the Bible means. That's not what Paul was trying to write when he said, put on the new man. But we got to understand it and study it if, in order to discern that, right? Study it. Number six, hear the preaching of the word. Hear it. Take time to just come under the preaching of the word. Make sure you're here on Sundays. Make sure you maybe take notes. Just dive in. This is a great opportunity for you. And even throughout the week, I'll be honest with you, when I'm getting ready sometimes in the morning and, you know, brushing my teeth, I have a Bible, like I have all these apps on my phone, and I'll just listen to a sermon. Just as I'm getting ready in the morning, I'll just put on a sermon, like one of my, you know, whoever it is. And just like, you know, just listen. There's some messages for 20, 30 minutes. It's a great time. Just, you know, even when you're driving or, you know, maybe you have a long commute to work or to school, it's a great time where you can just listen to a sermon. Hear it. Faith comes through the hearing of the word. Let me tell you about at least four consequences of getting into the word like this. Four consequences. Number one, taking in the word leads to communicating the word. Jeremiah said, but if I say in verse 9, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Even if he tried not to express it, he couldn't hold it in because he was ingesting so much. The Lord was putting the word in his heart so deeply that it just had to come out. By God's grace, I'm married now for 3 years. But, you know, my parents came from India. And so, like, you know, in that sort of community, you got to get married early. And I waited a long time for in her mind. And so, you know, she'd regularly, you know, say, Josh, you need to find someone. We're praying for you. We're fasting for you. You know, you need to do something. You know, what about this girl? What about that girl? What about that girl in, you know, India? What about that girl in, you know, Africa? What about that girl in Texas? What about that girl in New York? You know, it was just like, you know, get married. And I remember one day I was getting a little stressed. So I said, Mom, if you give me 1 week, don't mention anything about me getting married. Don't mention it to anyone. If you don't, just for 1 week, I will give you a crisp $100 bill. I was like, I will give you $100. It'll be a wonderful week. Just don't mention it. Don't say it to me. Don't say it to anyone. Don't call anyone about it and tell them to pray about it. Just $100 without question. Less than 24 hours, my mom was not able to get that $100 bill. She could not hold it in. She could not contain herself. Because, you know, that was just on her mind. That was on her heart. And that's how life is, right? You spend so much time on a YouTube video or something, and all of a sudden you dream about it, right? You think about it. It's like, why did that come up? Get the word in you, and it'll come out. You see, a lot of times we go to school, we go to church, work, and we're trying to share the gospel, tell people the word, and it's just kind of not really natural, right? We're like, this, but you know, when you start to really ingest it seriously, it'll just come out naturally, you know, and it's just part of your life. That's just the way you are. That's just who you are, and it just comes out. But sometimes it's very unnatural for us sometimes to speak the word because it's not really deeply rooted and just naturally a part of who you are. It'll lead to it coming out when you take it in properly. And you know, and Jeremiah wasn't some person who was just trying to offend people. I'm not saying, yeah, just go out and tell people you're a sinner and this is you're going to hell right now. And this, Jeremiah was they call him almost like the weeping prophet, because he had compassion. It was very difficult sometimes to give him a difficult word to people. Some people say they like to tell it like it is, and they're just very rude and offensive. Jeremiah was a very loving person, and even though some of these messages were difficult, it was tough for him. we got to have that love and compassion as we speak the word with others out there. Two, sometimes we'll experience opposition. Let's be honest, this is not exciting to experience opposition. How many of you love opposition and people speak badly of you? It's awesome, right? No. Just because you know it's the word and just because you know it's right and it's from the word of God, don't expect everyone to line up and say, we love you, you're great. You may experience some opposition. And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 20:10, he says, I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. Some people wanted to destroy Jeremiah because of his message. They wanted to see him fail. They were looking for those holes in his life. Oh, let's. There may be people like that in your life. Let's just see. Oh, they say they're Christian. They go to church. They go to youth group. Oh wait. Let's see. There may be people like that. They may want to destroy. Even a so-called priest beat Jeremiah up and had him shackled up. Maybe it's people that you don't expect. It could be family members. It could be friends that you thought were close to you. Maybe sometimes Christians that just don't support you. You know what? It can happen. It can happen. And what does that lead to? Number three, discouragement. Sometimes we'll experience discouragement, just like Jeremiah did. He was upset, right? Some of the things he says in this passage about his life, he's upset. We often think about, you know, being a great disciple is just, you're just going to have a big old happy face and you're going to be the star. Everyone's going to love you. You're going to be on the stage. It's going to be like awesome. It's just like, woo. But sometimes in the midst of being a disciple of Christ, you may experience not only opposition, but discouragement. You see, that's the way of the cross. We follow Jesus who was rebuked, who was persecuted, was put on a cross. That's the Lord that we follow. We may experience some pain, some challenges, but that's part of discipleship. But you know what I liked about Jeremiah is that he brought his discouragements to the Lord. He brought it to God. You know, if you got discouragement and you're like, man, I'm trying to be a good Christian and things aren't working well, bring it to the Lord. That's what Jeremiah did. Because number four, and this is my last point on God, is God's commitment to you his presence. Number four. Another fourth concept, God's commitment to you his presence. Though Jeremiah admitted that he was discouraged with his life of following God and sharing the word, he reminds us of this great point about who God is in the midst of being a disciple. Jeremiah 20:11 says, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Though many were after Jeremiah because of his commitment to the word, he could rest in the truth of who God is. He will be with him like a mighty warrior. Jeremiah could rest in the fact that God would be with him. And because God would be with him, he could persevere. The book of Jeremiah is one of the longest books in the Bible. And he could keep on going, knowing that God is with me. I remember a number of years ago, while I was still in Bible college, I was asked to teach a Bible college course in India, and it was for like taught a course for 1 month. No one spoke much English around me, even though I was going back to my dad's kind of family place and all that sort of stuff. I'll be honest, I was very lonely. It was very hot. I had like two or three 2-liter bottles of water at night because it was so hot. The walls were hot. It was so difficult. And you know, I had a translator to speak the language for me, and so I'd speak in English and they translate it. And it was a very difficult time. I'll be honest, like I was teaching the word of God, but I was getting really discouraged. I felt very alone. And you know, I told a story about my mom. Here's a good story for her. She actually sent me a message, and she sent a letter, and there's this basically four words that I needed to know I needed to know that kept me going. It's this four words that I could just stand up and be like, I can do this. Because God is with you. God is with you. Because of the truth of that, I could keep going. And for some of you, you just need to know that. You may say, Josh, getting the word in me and trying to speak the word, that's not easy stuff. You don't know my school. You don't know my friends. You don't know my family. God is with you. You may say, no, Josh, I'm experiencing opposition. People in my family don't even like me. Even my friends are kind of saying, hey, like, you know, they kind of make fun of me and they try to pressure me to do stuff. And I can't live the truth of the word of God. I can't speak the word. Let me tell you something. God is with you. Can I encourage you to be a man or a woman of God, all fired up by the word? Get the word of God in you, that you might be like Jeremiah, that it is like a fire shut up in my bones. Even if I try to contain it, I cannot. And even if you go through discouragement, even if you go through some rejection, take it to God. Jeremiah was brutally honest in his prayers. Brutally honest. And God can handle those brutally honest prayers in the midst of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Be brutally honest. If you need to cry, cry. I've cried. I've cried tears where I've gone through challenging experiences as a disciple of Christ. God hears, and God sees every tear. God is with you. God is with you. Can I do something just quickly? Maybe some of you have a testimony or just one or two, three short sentences of how the Word of God, how you've been able to ingest the Word of God. Is anyone here, can you offer, or maybe you want to comment on maybe the sermon I've shared? Could you offer maybe something that has been helpful for you to get the Word of God in you or to speak it out? And so it's a little... Can anyone share? Just raise your hand and say, hey, I'd like to share something. How you were able to get the word of God in you. I mean, it's a little bit different. I just want to take just a minute, just to hear from somebody else as well from here. Anybody? Just quickly just put up your hand and say, hey, this is something, just something really quick and short to the point to encourage us. Because, you know, your testimony is an encouragement to us. And even right now, if the band wants to come forward, you can do that as well. Anyone? Just put up your hand and don't be shy. If we can't share it among family and friends, how are we going to do it outside, right? Yes. Your name?
My name's
David. Go ahead. Okay. Good. Good. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, the back? Yeah. Very good. Yeah? Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, right away, the first thing you do in the morning, that's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. Good. Just keep reading. You're meditating on it. That's what you're doing. That's awesome. Excellent. Yeah, over there. Good. Memorize. That's fantastic. Especially when you're dealing with others. Like, that's, yeah, the Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance, and it's awesome. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Good. One more? Yeah. Very good thought. Yeah. So we got morning and we got night. That's great. Can I just pray for you? Lord, I thank you, Lord, for New Covenant Alliance Church and Pastor Stan. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for their wonderful theme of discipleship. And I pray, God, that, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord, would be a true disciple of Christ. And sometimes it's challenging, just as Jeremiah experienced it. Sometimes we'll experience discouragement, opposition. But Lord, we're thankful that you are with us. It's not just about just knowing the facts about the Bible or facts about the Word. You are with us, and you will help us by your Holy Spirit to speak it out, and you'll give us that comfort. Thank you. Be with us, Lord God. Help us to know how to ingest more of your word that'll come out and so we can share with others. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.